And welcome to Health Matters. I'm Big Gill and back for another fortnight as we do every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And the program does replay Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. And we're talking about men's health today and our guest today, well actually we have two of them, but I might keep the second one for a huge, huge surprise. But our first surprise is Ted Dowling. He's a clinical nurse from critical care from Royal Perth Hospital. Welcome, Ted, to Health Matters.
Good morning, good big girl. First time here, so pretty excited.
That's okay. I might torment you a bit, but that's fine. Now, what are we talking about today, Ted?
We're going to focus on men's health, and there's a lot of us men out there who just don't talk about health issues. Recently, I've been at a few Aboriginal funerals, and looking around, I see a lot of brothers and boyfriends and sons and uncles, and it's quite sad that so many of them are dying at the younger in the early 50s. There is a significant gap. The average expectancy for Aboriginal men is still about 65 years of age, with a gap of about 13 years. Where I work in the coronary care ward at Royal Perth, we see a lot of our Aboriginal men a lot younger. If you're in your between 30 and 39, about 11% of our patients lying in the bed are Aboriginal. When if you only make up 3%, it's a crazy number. I mean, once you get to about 40, in your 40s, it jumps up to about nearly 20% of all the people lying in the bed with a heart problem are Aboriginal. So I think it's about time that, us men start having a bit of a yarn amongst ourselves and start talking about why are we ending up in hospitals.
That's right, Ted. And we'll be touching on heart health today. We'll also talk about healthy lifestyles and about regular checkups and a few other things as well. We're going to go to some music. If you're a man or woman listening and there's a man around the house, make sure that those radios are turned up, because this is really important stuff, because we want our men to live longer here on Noongar Boodja. Speaking of Noongar, here's Noongar Man with another Ted Wilkes. You're listening to Health Matters on Noongar Radio.
I come from the southwest, Noongar Boodja. Been living down here I'm a
Oh, yeah, local Noongar man there. That's the sound of Ted Wilkes on Health Matters with me, Big Girl. You can catch the program every fortnight on a Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock and then a replay on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And our topic today, between myself and Ted Dowling, he's from Royal Perth Hospital, is men's health. And you might think, oh, she a yorg or she shouldn't be talking about it. But you know what? Ted, men's health is very, very, very interesting to me. I've always been passionate about men's health, and some of our men, they don't look after themselves, Ted.
No, I mean,
and some of them do. I better put that in. I'll get jarred up. Yes,
that's true. The ones that do look after ourselves, we look at our role models out there in the AFL on the weekend with the wearing those lovely jumpers. I mean, all those blokes running around nice and fit. You know, I often look at why are they fit? Why? You know, what's happening with our other generation of men, you know? They've got lots of people out there supporting them. And the guys that are in the AFL, they have a bit of extra support from the teams. So they all have coaches. So sometimes we need to look for other people around us to support us with our exercise. Sometimes it's maybe we don't have the knowledge.
Knowledge is a huge one, I reckon.
Because when I was coming down here today, I thought, oh, do I get in the car and drive down here? And there's I have a few mentors because I grew up in New Zealand, and this Aboriginal lady, she was telling me about her grandmother, and she said that when her grandmother was a young lady, she used to see all the Wadjalas driving past, and she'd go, oh, I'd love to have a car. Yeah. And now she's an older lady. She says, you know, I wish I'd kept walking. Now I'm driving and I've got all these health problems. If I hadn't had the car and I'd just been kept on the walking, then I probably wouldn't have had the health problems I've got now.
That's true. But look, you can still drive and you can still exercise at the same time. True. It's all about, we've been talking about this, it's all about choices, making that choice for yourself. And you're talking about cars there. I reckon a man run like a car or what? Because there's a few programs that are modelled off of cars.
Yeah,
I
that's
know
true.
That there's the Mum and Pit Stop through Derbal Yerrigan. They might have a few others.
So with cars and stuff, you look at, you know, the car we've got out the front of here, the studio, if we don't put it in for a service or get it checked out, if we ignore the, if we don't have a look at the lights on the dashboard, then we're not going to know how the car's running. So sometimes whether you just pop in for a quick blood pressure, whether you pop into the local GP just for a bit of a yarn and see what he's got to say. But if you don't go down there, the thing with heart disease and diabetes and blood pressure, you can't cure it, but you can manage it. And the thing with it, unless you're going, get your, 6-monthly check or even a yearly check, you're not going to, know what your blood pressure is unless you, have it looked at. There's no way you know what your blood pressure is unless you get your arm, just pop in for 2 minutes and get your blood pressure done. We do it every Thursday down at Heart Health Program at Derbal Yerrigan, and a lot of the guys just, I've got a bunch of young fellas who just pop in at about 8:30, quarter to nine. They get the blood pressure checked, the heart rate, they go for a quick ride on their bikes, and then they're off to work, or the few of the guys are from mines and stuff like that. And what they do is they use it as a bit of a measure that they're still healthy, that they're, and,
so do you run that, Heart Health?
Yeah, I run
that. That's where I've seen you before. Oh, of course you know me and I know you. I've been there a few times, but you look different in your hospital uniform. That's a great program.
So we've been going there for nearly 8.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Heart Foundation had there's a lady called Lynn Diamond, had a great vision about, she said to me, in order to treat me the same, you need to be prepared to treat me differently. And we had some great programs up at the hospital, but a lot of my Aboriginal friends don't like going to hospitals. So she said, well, why don't we offer something? And Derbal took it up. Derbal have a great vision there that why not offer stuff in the community where people, if it's in the community, then they're more likely to use it. And we have some of my Aboriginal ladies that come to the program. They don't feel confident walking in their local community, but when they grow out with a group, they're happy to walk. And
is that one of the successes?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the other successes of that program? Because it's long running. There's always a crowd there. And when I've been down, there's always a returning crowd. Same people will keep coming back.
Yeah, we have a small group that are fairly consistent, but then we have these other newcomers that rotate through the group. We've had a lot of success with a lot of our clients. There's one story I tell of about the young guy who came into the program with a bottle of Coke, and he popped it on the table, and I checked his sugar level, and it was 8. So ideally, I'd like his sugar to be around about the 6 mark. And I said to him, you might be cruising towards the diabetes. And he says, so I said to him, would you like a cup of coffee? So I went over and made him a cup of coffee, and I put 12 teaspoons of sugar in his cup of coffee. And he said to me, what are you doing that for? You know, what are you doing, trying to kill me or something? I said, well, how much sugar's in your Coke? So we wandered over and had a look at his bottle of Coke, and we found out that Coke is 10% sugar. And with the 10% sugar, and it was a 600ml bottle, that equaled 12 teaspoons of sugar.
I'm surprised it's only 10%, actually.
Well, it's 10.6, but...
Wow.
And then we popped him on the bike, and he went for a ride on the exercise bike for about 10, 15 minutes, got off, and his sugars came down. The sugars came down from 8.6 down to, I think it was 7.4.
Mm.
I said to him, why has it gone down? And he said to me, oh, I'm not really sure. And I said, do you think exercise has anything to do with your sugars? So we've had a lot of success with exercise, and with exercise comes weight loss. You'll see on the weekend with all those AFL footy guys, you don't see any big fellas jogging around on the footy field. It's probably because they're eating, having choice on what they're eating, and also because they're doing regular exercise.
Mm.
The shame probably is when, you know, a lot of my friends that play footy, they push themselves to about 35, 40, and then I think it'd be nice if AFL or something had something for those guys to progress into for retirement, you know, like a, because they love the game, but they need something to support them to exercise still.
And smokes?
Smokes, yeah. I mean, smokes, smoking will increase your heart rate, which is not ideal. It's also going to cause the coronary arteries to close down a little bit. And that's not ideal. From a heart perspective, we don't really talk too much about the lungs, but everybody knows about the lungs. With smoking, you have probably two options. With smoking, you can either quit completely, and it's like everything. You know, you're probably going to have a few cracks at trying to give it up. And then there's the other way of reducing. So reducing is more a thing where maybe you have one or two puffs and you feel that's enough, so you just butt it out and put in your box for another time. Both have about the same statistical success rate. The main thing I look at is not to beat yourself up if you get back onto it.
That's so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I'm on patches at the moment for smoking.
Good work.
And I also just want to let our Aboriginal listeners know that you know, if you want to do what I'm doing and go on patches or any other quit, I don't know what they got, patches and chewies and all those kinds of things, they are reduced priced through Closing the Gap. So if you're getting a TG concession, go and get it. Otherwise, they'll cost you an arm and a leg. And that's a good thing that you need to know as well, because sometimes people want to do things, but they think, oh, it's too expensive, such as, oh, I'd like to join a gym, but I can't afford it. But there are easy ways to get your 30 minutes in per day, and that could be, walking to the shop.
That's right.
That could be perhaps involving children or nephews or nieces or, you know, your grannies going for a walk, picking them up from school, little things like that rather than using the car, like what you're saying.
And while the grandkids are playing footy for an hour, there's no reason why you can't do 2 or 3 laps around the football field.
Mm.
It's often, you know, you can take your socks and shoes off. The grass is quite cool. It's probably the nicest environment you're going to get to watch. And you could be doing a couple of laps around the field, watching your grandkid doing his thing. And meanwhile, you're getting some health benefits and lowering your sugars, lowering your blood pressure and lowering your weight all in one go.
So we've talked about smokes. We've talked about exercise. We're going to talk about alcohol, limiting your alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a female, there is some discrepancy there. The Heart Foundation said you're allowed one standard drink, and males, you're allowed 2. And they'd like you to have at least one day off a week. Alcohol is an empty calorie, so it's going to unfortunately help you put on a little bit of weight. Some of my clients have issues with heart failure, which is it can be aggravated by alcohol as well. Some of us guys maybe drink too much, and can have liver problems down the road. Liver is one of the organs that if you do have the willpower to, you know, cut back off and reduce, then you will, liver can recover a bit. The sad, probably, the bit is for the younger generation, those young fellas that are 17 or 24, they don't stop at maybe one or two, they just keep going. And, well, I bumped into a guy yesterday, you know, broken leg, had fallen down a couple of stairs and broken his leg. And sometimes when you have too many drinks, it's you're going to do silly things, and you don't mean to, but it gives you a bit of extra confidence, or you actually get past that and then become unstable and make bad decisions.
Alcohol and drugs for anyone can put you in some scary situations. Whether you're in a car, whether you're on your way, it can take you to some places and you never think it's going to happen to you.
I often think of things like that as a set of stairs. On those sets of stairs are different mental health issues. Sometimes it could be alcoholism, depression, schizophrenia, or other issues, and a bit of depression. And we never really know where our health issues are on those sets of stairs. And it's good to, as blokes, if we can find a mate or someone that we feel confident to talk with, or find some way that you can use to, a healthy way to reduce your stress, then it's going to reduce the chances of having mental health issues as we go along. Derbal and have a counsellor. Ads are very good service, very accessible to us all. Their councils are all over the city.
Just with ads, I just want to say, some people think, I've got to go into a dry out centre, or I've got to be in rehab for ages, I'll be away from everywhere. They do have the, solid ground program at ads, which is basically day rehab. So you go in 2 days per week. I think it's for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So that's a great option, you know, if you don't want to go into a rehab, you don't want to be separated, because we have to say that, you know, a lot of our men and women in our mob don't want to be isolated from family. So that could be a good option for you to take. And it is culturally appropriate. It's coming from ads and it's a great program. Now, if you're a man listening and you do have a question, for Ted, you can certainly text in on 0448 821 186. We would definitely like to hear from you. If you have, some tips for other men that are listening, we would really love to hear from you. We're going to some music. This is A Man of Culture, Phil Wally Stack, on Health Matters here at Noongar Radio.
We'll be right back. day. So I gotta dig deep inside to change my life. If I wanna see my name.
Appropriate song, A Man of Culture. I've tried to chuck in the playlist today anything to do with a man on them, but yeah, we are speaking on Aboriginal men's health today on Health Matters here, and my guest is Ted Dowling, and Ted's a clinic in critical care at Royal Perth Hospital, so he has a lot to do with heart health, and he's also down at Derwall Yerrigan every Thursday with Heart Health, a fantastic program. What time does that start?
Yeah, officially.
Can people just rock up, or what's the story?
What we've done is we've made it an open program. And there is, you don't have to get referrals from anybody. You just, turn up. We made it, we tried to make it as flexible as possible. That was, Lynn's vision from the Heart Foundation. And what she looked at was, officially we used to start at 9, but I get a lot of people coming at 8:30. So we just basically from 8:30 on till, about 1 o'clock, we give morning tea and lunch. We have some 3 exercise bikes and exercise physiologists. I've got Delma who does, she's from East Metro. She's an Aboriginal lady who does the Living with Diabetes program. So we do about half an hour with her. And then we have guest speakers, and often I'll do some talking about different heart issues. And so sometimes I'll try and we have a bit of yarn, maybe what the difference is between a heart attack and angina. Or
what is the difference? Sorry, I'm just really interested. What is the difference?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I normally think about when I'm. What happens with a heart attack is that there's normally a complete blockage in one of the 3 blood vessels in your heart. So if I was at Royal Perth Heart Hospital and I was driving back home tonight at about 5 o'clock, I can either drive. Down there's 3 different road systems that you can get back home. You can go down the Mitchell Freeway, you can go down Wanneroo Road, or you can go down West Coast Highway. And that's how your heart is situated. It has these, and then you have these little off-ramps, like Carinut Road or Hutton Street. So your heart also has little off-ramps. So what happens with your heart is that at 5 o'clock on the Mitchell Freeway, we've got all the cars are going home, but they're going home really slowly. And there's no blockages, there's no cars broken down, so that's angina. Angina is a reduction in the oxygen and blood getting to the muscle. So it's a bit like the cars, they're slowly getting home, but they all get home, but just a bit longer. There was a big accident not so long ago where one of those petrol tankers swung its truck, its load over, and it blocked all 4 lanes of the Mitchell Freeway. And it didn't matter if you were a police car or an ambulance, you weren't getting past.
Mm.
And that's so what happens with a heart attack is that there's these little fatty plaques, and what they do is they leak out of the cell wall a bit like a volcano, and they block the complete blood vessel. And as they block it, no blood and no oxygen gets past that point. And when no blood and oxygen gets past that point, the cells get starved of oxygen and nutrients, and they start to die. And as they die, they release enzymes. And that's why the doctors, when you first get in the hospital, they ask you what symptoms have you got, but they also quickly do a blood test on you too. The symptoms that we get with heart attacks, the ones that you see on the TV, someone having a chest pain on the left side of their chest and it goes down their left arm. But in real life, it can be on the right side. It can be a heavy, sharp, stabbing, pressing, crushing. Sometimes some people get sweaty and clammy. Other people don't. Some people get a little bit dizzy. With diabetes, unfortunately, you don't always feel the same amount of pain as people that don't have diabetes. So I've had a couple of my Aboriginal clients who, there was one guy went terribly white in front of me and said, I'm feeling short of breath, I don't feel so good. And it turned out he was having a heart attack because he doesn't get the same pain sensation that you and I get.
Mm.
It's really important. And I've had one lady who, she used to walk to my program, and then it took a little while, but we started yarning about how she was feeling. And she said, every time I walk from the train station to Durbel, I get about halfway there and I get this pain in my stomach. It's heartburn though. So, and I went, oh right, okay. And then I said, well, what happens? And she says, I stop and rest and the heartburn goes away. And then I carry on walking and then the heartburn starts again. And then as soon as I stop and rest at Durbel, the heartburn goes away. So this lady, I suggested that we refer her on to the GP, and the GP, we had a bit of a chat amongst ourselves, and we whipped her up to Royal Perth. And unfortunately for her, she had three major vessels in her heart were all quite narrowed off, down to about 90%.
Gee whiz.
So you can be, so she ended up having to have bypass surgery. So the symptoms that you get isn't always...
obviously, yeah, from the stomach.
So hers was like a heartburn feeling, but hers used to only occur when she's doing exercise. The rest of the time she was fine. So there is some things that my Aboriginal friends have control over, and some things that they don't have control over in managing heart disease. So the ones that they have no control over, obviously their age. As you and I get older, we're more susceptible to issues. Males, us blokes out there, we do have higher rates of heart disease than females. It's generally because women have estrogen and it protects them, but once women get over the age of about 65, the ratio tends to even itself out. Unfortunately, Aboriginal women, it seems to present with heart disease a bit earlier, and with diabetes, Aboriginal people, generally speaking, have about four times more higher rates than of diabetes. So that's, we think, probably a contributing factor also. And then certain cultural groups have higher rates. The things that you do have control over are whether you've got high blood pressure, whether you're taking your tablets or not, whether you're smoking or not.
Stress is a huge thing.
Definitely stress. And then how you manage your stress. So some of us, a young friend of mine last night was hitting a wall. That's not as helpful as maybe having a yarn with one of his cousins or something like that, or going for a jog down the footy. You know, that might have helped relieve some of how he was feeling, or even if he had a punching bag, that might have been a bit more helpful. You can't get rid of diabetes. Once you've got it, you got it. But what you can control and what you do have the power and the choice is what your sugar levels are going to be. I was walking down here today and I popped into IGA and bought an apple for 75 cents. I wandered over to McDonald's and looked at the cheapest thing I can buy at McDonald's is 60 cents for a soft serve ice cream. After that...
You bought the ice cream?
No.
As well?
No.
I'm joking. But they're those great choices that we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about food, because we haven't really got onto food. So let's talk about diet.
So with diet, there's these flash things out there called calories and kilojoules, and they just blow my mind. I don't know. I did a little bit of study at uni, but I wasn't great. Wasn't a great student, but. For my clients down at Durbel, we've converted it into slices of bread because I can relate to a slice of bread. I know, for a female, generally speaking, they can have, what is it, I can't work the exact number out in my head, but, what we've done was, one piece of bread equaled, an apple, or one piece of bread equals a biscuit. Or 10 McDonald's fries. A friend of mine likes Arnott shapes, so they're quite popular down at Durbel. You can have 7 Arnott shapes or one piece of bread. One Arnott shakes, it takes you 2.5 minutes to walk off, so they're only little suckers. But so a can of Coke equal 2 pieces of bread, a can of beer equal 1.5 pieces of bread. Some of us blokes like going to a party.
Is that just white bread? What's your thing with like grain bread, wholemeal bread versus white bread?
Yeah, the white bread tends to have a bit more sugar in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the fibre. The thing that we are chasing and why I picked an apple rather than a biscuit at IGA was that I'm looking for fibre. Fibre goes through my stomach. It creates a bulk. One of the things I chuckle when I'm wandering through the shopping centres is the guys that are proudly showing their boost juices. The boost juice is all liquid. And if you look behind the counter, all the pulp is coming out and out of the machine.
That's where the fibre is.
And that's where all the fibre is. That's what makes you feel full. So after you've had a boost juice, you get this hit of sugar, you feel great, and then all of a sudden, you know, a little while later, you're feeling hungry again. Mm. So what we want to be doing is chasing the fibre. And so if we can get a brown bread that is got your grains and stuff in there, and that has a lot more fibre and will probably, it'll make you a lot fuller. Some of us go to parties and, you know, you take your packet of Smith's chips and your little six-pack, but... your packet of Smith's chips has 11 pieces of bread, which is the same as a box of Arnott shapes. 11 pieces of bread. Could you imagine eating 11 pieces of bread? You would feel as full as a...
True as a mayor.
But...
You'd feel like a big loaf.
You would. So, 2-litre bottle of Coke equals 9 pieces of bread.
Don't...
So...
You can do better things with that Coca-Cola. You can actually... clean your sink, you can get rid of rust and all kinds of things. Don't put it into your body. Yeah, Google what you can do with Coca-Cola. You'll be amazed.
A bottle of water, how many pieces of bread do you reckon?
None.
Exactly, perfect. Because ultimately food, we're meant to be using food to help us grow, give us energy and help our body repair. It's when we have too much food or we pick products that are quite high in fats that we start growing. And we start growing and growing even bigger. And then nowadays we tend to maybe not do as much exercise as we used to in the old days. So one of the options now is we're sitting a lot more. So it'd be nice if we could, for those of us who are trying to lose a little bit of weight, a few of us are blokes out there, maybe buy a smaller plate. If you've got a smaller plate, then when the missus fills up the plate, then you don't feel like you're getting ripped off. But if she only fills up half the plate, you're going, my dad goes back for seconds because he's going, I think you've made a mistake here. So my mum, when she was trying to get dad to lose weight, she dropped his big plate. And, oh, sorry, dear. And she came back with a smaller plate. And then when Dad retired, that plate there dropped as well, and he got an even smaller plate. So if you can reduce the portion size, that's going to help. Avoid some of those sugary drinks is going to help you and me lose a little bit of weight. Maybe go into the diet drinks or the zero drinks, because we still want to enjoy our soft drinks. But if we can, that's also going to help with your sugar levels. When you get to the shopping centre and you walk in there, don't pick the one that's the bay that's closest to the front door. pick one of the far away ones for two reasons. Your car won't get dinged, but also you're going to use a few more calories. The shopping centres now often have walking groups, and there's no reason why you and I can't, you know, go for a walk. If it's 40 degrees or if it's raining, we can still walk around the shopping centres. So, or when your grandson or your son's playing footy, go for a walk around the footy field and have a little bit of a look around. That's going to support our exercise, but also going to support what we're eating. We still wanted that two fruits and the five veggies, which you'll see advertised on TV. That's a given. Sometimes when they say a portion size of some vegetables can be just like half a cup. It doesn't have to be like a whole cup.
Some veggies aren't that good. Like, you wouldn't have lots of potatoes, aren't they? Starchy ones?
Yeah, you're right. Mm. Yeah, that'd be back down to that one cup. For rice, some of us, brothers and uncles from up north, they like rice, so they're only allowed the size of a tennis ball.
I know mob are listening and saying, go away, you mob, you don't know what you're talking about, take away our potatoes and rice. But, you know, it might not be about taking away, it might be just about getting half of what you normally would have. So it's all about portions.
The portions.
Just try it.
And what you were saying about some foods aren't great is that the manufacturers, the frozen veggies, in order for a frozen veggie to be put into one of those packets, those bags, it has to be taken when it's at its prime. It's got to be its best. So having frozen veggies are a cheap option because you don't have to use – you just take what you need. Some of us blokes, you know, maybe there's only a couple of us in the house, or if the missus is cooking, you know, then – but frozen veggies is a good option, or having seasonal vegetables, you know, or fruits. We don't always have to have an apple. If apples are expensive at this time of the year, which they are, we go for something else that's a bit more seasonally cheaper. Sometimes at this time of year, bananas are a cheaper option and can taste just as nice.
Definitely. Well, we've talked enough on food, hey? People be...
Yeah, well, we're getting hungry.
Hopefully people are, you know, making those healthy choices as well. Now, I wanted to also touch on dealing with depression as well, yeah. Ted. I know that is a big concern for all people. And particularly with Aboriginal men, because that's what we're talking about today on Health Matters. We are talking about health for Aboriginal men, and stress as well. How does an Aboriginal man think that he's got depression, or what are the symptoms that men should look out for?
So with depression, often you'll find that it's that withdrawal. They don't want to do things. They're not interested in talking. They're feeling their mood is a lot flatter. It's sadder. They're not as motivated to go and watch their grandson playing football. They don't want to. Normally they might want to watch TV or go for a kick. They don't want to socialise. You ask them, do they want to do things? They don't feel like that. Sometimes it can be related to a loss, and a lot of my friends seem to be, unfortunately, as we get a little bit older, us blokes, we seem to get more and more losses. We don't even have time to recover from one when we're something else that happens.
True.
It just keeps hitting us. And as blokes, I know the women, they tend to have a bit of a yarn amongst themselves, but sometimes us guys, we just sort of shut ourselves off a bit. So we need it's not we need to, but if you see a mate that's sort of gone particularly quiet and maybe not looking after himself so much, or there was a friend of mine that used to come to Heart Health a lot, and all of a sudden he stopped coming, and I didn't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. So then I tried ringing him up, and he wasn't answering his phone, so his behaviour sort of changed a bit, and that got me concerned that something wasn't right. So it's then when you've got to go out of your way as a bloke for a mate and go around and try and find him, and just sit there and have a yarn with him. You don't always have to, you don't need inspirational stuff, you know. just be there for them, and then let them have a chat with you, and possibly he might not be looking after himself, so bring something to eat for him. And then Durbel, like when we talked about ads, they have counsellors, so you don't have to do it all yourself. And sometimes there's mental health packages where you can we can send them off to the GP, have a bit of yarn with the GP. And sometimes there's two sorts of depression. There's one that's caused by an outside source, whether that's, you know, maybe, for example, someone died, or there's a loss of some sort. There's another sort of depression which is caused by there is no cause. You just feel sad and depressed. So that one there, sometimes you might need to go on antidepressants for a little while. I know a lot of us are not that keen on tablets, and we try and avoid them, but they're a support. They'll help us through the rough times, and once we get through the other end and we're back to our normal self, then the GP can wean you off them. It's important not to go just to sort of self-medicate and take yourself off them without having a consultation with the GP. All the ones that we have at AMSs and even in the community, they have a lot more knowledge than what you and I do about the medications. And some of them, the body doesn't like it if you go off it too fast.
Oh, so definitely. You could be worse off them, you know, when you first started taking the medication.
We do have, even with heart disease, there is in the old days, we never really realised in the hospital that people could get depressed after a heart attack. And that can be other health issues, but we've found more recently that the incidences of depression after heart disease is somewhere around about between 15% and 20%. Sometimes it doesn't occur straight away, and sometimes it can be a little bit delayed, and that's something that for families to be aware of, that depression can occur gradually and not be immediate. It's not like a broken arm where you can see it straight out. I guess that's the other hard thing with mental illnesses and depression, is that if you've got a broken arm or you've got stitches, you could see it and everybody else can see it around you, whereas sometimes with depression there is no open wound that people can identify with, and that's probably been demonstrated by, again, with some of our football players and the rugby league players over in New South Wales that we're all quite surprised when all of a sudden they need a break from the game, and we find out later on that it was because they've been struggling with depression.
I'd just like to go over some of the services that I've been provided with, like contact numbers and you know, where Aboriginal people can go to. In Perth, we've been talking about the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Services, we call that ADS, that provides counselling, education programs and support to our mob and their families. There's Cyrenian House and Palmerston Association. They have residential programs for our mob. Also, the Drug and Alcohol Office, Aboriginal Withdrawal Unit. They provide medically supervised alcohol and other drug withdrawal in a culturally secure environment that is staffed by Aboriginal workers. And for young people, the Drug and Alcohol Youth Service provides an Aboriginal mentor as part of its program. And for more information or help finding the right services for you, you can contact the Alcohol and Drug Support Line on 94425000, and the number for Durbel Yerrigan is 94213888. That's in Perth, and if you call them, they'll be able to tell you where you can go to if Perth is too far away for you. For all the information we've been talking about today, you can also go online to healthywa.wa.gov.au. Have you got any more that you want to add in there?
Yeah. A couple of weeks back, I met Reg, who's an Aboriginal fellow who was he works for the Catholic ministry, and they've been he's got a triple AA. His phone number was 93287529. So they've got an AA group going with the Catholic ministry.
Can we have that number again?
It was 9328 7529. And he's setting up a group for Aboriginal men. It is specifically for men, where they're supporting one another, and they're going to look at doing the AA part of it, but also a little bit on the health part of it as well.
Mm. There's also a lot of men's groups. There's not a lot. Not as many as the women, but there are men's groups and there are men camps as well. That's organised through Yorgham and Durbel.
And there's men sheds too.
Men sheds. Who are the men sheds run by?
I'm not sure who they are.
Who should they ring? If you call Roger Turvey, my brother-in-law in. Give him a call. He's at Durbel and he organises the men's camps. I'll tell you what, they are good camps to go on.
I've been on a couple of them.
They are deadly, and, you know, if you want to maintain or reconnect to culture, that is awesome too. So if you want to go away with a group of men and have a yarn. Yeah, go have some fun, have a yarn, you know.
And like fishing.
And that's a great way to do things, you know, instead of shoving things down people's throats, you know, we're going to go and learn about this and learn about that. No, we're going to go away as a group of men, have a good time, have a yarn, do some recreational stuff. Stuff like fishing. If you
bonding,
go to Bremer Bay, you put in salmon. There you go.
That was the one I went to.
Give Roger a call on 94213888 and, yeah, get into that. I think we'll go to a quick song. This is a bit of a cheeky one. I thought I'd chuck in. It's Men, Men, Men by Mary G. Look.
To get rough. Show them.
Yeah, bloody man. Those lyrics, I don't know if you're listening, Ted, but Mary G was saying, you know, they okay when they're young, but when they get older, they get sick. She don't want a sick woman.
No, we don't want any sick men out there. I think us blokes, you know, the women look after us as best they can, but they can't feed us, you know. We got to look, make our own choices. It's like me with my apple and... or going over to McDonald's and have my soft serve ice cream. You know, we've got to make the choices for ourselves.
And our families. I know a few men that have, you know, changed their habits and turning their lives around because they're putting their family first. So maybe that's something that you can look at, because a lot of people don't think about themselves, unfortunately. Think about your family.
And we're role models, us men, you know.
Of course you are, yeah.
Our young sons, they don't look up, well, they do look up to mum, but ultimately they look up to us men to they're going to copy us, you know.
If we're very easily, I must say, very easily. Yes,
there is a lot of peer pressure out there, and unfortunately you've got Google and all the other technologies. But if I come and having a smoke, and then they're going to go, oh yeah, it's okay for us to smoke, you know. If I'm in there, maybe having a bit more than my standard drinks, then they're going to go, oh, it's okay to do that too, you know. So, but if they see me, you know, looking after my diet, looking after my exercise, while my kids doing his footy, you know, whether they see me going for a walk. Now, with exercise, you don't have to jog.
Don't have to bust yourself,
no,
man.
No. The recommendations for
that. What do you do? So, sorry, Ted.
I think it's important just for the guys out there to know that when you do an exercise, it's at a walk and talk pace. So if you start huffing and puffing, then you're going too fast. I want you to drop it back to a walk and talk pace. So when we used to do footy, we used to go for a couple of laps of the footy field. We'd be jogging, chatting with our mates, catching up with what everybody up to. And then the coach would come out, blow the whistle, and then he'd get us doing the sprint and stuff where we'd be huffing and puffing. So what we're at now, us blokes, is we're at the age now where we need to be just either walking, or even if it's a light jog, but it's at a walk and talk pace. It's nothing more than that. And the other bit, my other big thing is, and you read all the literature, is that you go by time. So have a look at your watch and go, I'm going for a 5 minute walk out, and then I'm going for a 5 minute walk back in. So we don't want to – if you say I'm going to walk out to the bus stop and back, some days you're not going to want to do it, so then you'll go out there too fast, and then you'll be huffing and puffing and feeling tired. But if you set yourself by time, some days you'll feel like you'll be able to walk out to that 5 minutes, no problems, and other days you'll feel a bit fatigued. The big thing with walking also is maybe bring a little bit of a water bottle with you, and to make it fun and enjoyable.
Steady wins the race. Don't forget, you can get all this information online at healthywa.wa.gov.au, and Health Matters will repeat again as it does Sunday night, 9 o'clock, and you can catch Health Matters here on Noongar Radio every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Ted, it's been fantastic having you here, and it's a great topic to talk about, men's health, because they're the pillar of our community. So are our women, but men sometimes are a little bit stubborn, and they're my words, or they don't talk as much or don't go to the doctors as much, and that's my words. You can have a go at me if you want, but that's my man. I might be talking about, yeah, do go and get your healthy checks done. As we've said, a lot of great services at Durable Yerrigan. Give them a call on 94213888.